morning, ladies and gentlemen. We've invited first class. Now we're inviting executive platinum, emerald, sapphire.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back the stoic Lee Harris. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks, Rhea. Stoic, I'm sure that's a good word. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is. So I'll take that as a win this week, I think.
It means you're very patient in general terms.
Wow.
Well, you are. I mean, you're surrounded in your office by women. You're surrounded at home by women. And then weekly, you're interviewed by a woman. So literally, you are a very patient man.
I have to be. I'm told to be.
Kudos to your mom. She taught you well.
She did indeed. She brought me up the right way.
And I have to mention that Crew Travel is brought to you weekly by Blue Marine Travel, who haven't lost a passenger since Lee Harris was born back in the 1900s. And of course, their people move people.
We certainly do.
To this day. This week, you know what? I don't know what it is, but humans are weird creatures because, I mean, it was up and down like a fiddler's elbow right up until the time that Russia became involved with Ukraine. And then all of a sudden COVID disappeared.
Yeah, strange, isn't it? Very strange indeed. But it does. It does seem sort of coincided with Russia, and their antics. And COVID seems to have taken a back seat, shall we say.
Well, and we're seeing it straight across the board. I mean, the news is great. New Zealand, what's going on?
Yeah, so this past week, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced that the timetable for international passengers to be able to enter New Zealand was being brought forward. The new timetable for reopening the New Zealand borders are now as follows. New Zealand citizens who aren't vaccinated or non-vaccinated can currently enter New Zealand from anywhere in the world at this time. From April the 12th at 23:59 p.m, the following vaccinated people can enter New Zealand and self-test on arrival. That's visitors from countries who do not need a visa. That's the visa waiver visitors and visitors from other countries who already hold a valid visitor visa. From October 2022, all visa categories will reopen, although it has been hinted that this will also be brought forward in due course. It's also interesting to note that this past Friday, in a statement posted online, was the scrapping of MIQ and self-isolation for any New Zealand residents returning home who are unvaccinated at this time. This obviously is a significant shift for the New Zealand government, who had previously announced any unvaccinated New Zealanders returning home would still have to undertake 7 days MIQ stay.
Well, I tell you, New Zealand was probably the biggest struggle for crew to get in and out. Some haven't even been home in the entire COVID pandemic. So that is absolutely amazing news. And I'm sure a lot of New Zealanders are going to be happy to see family and be reunited for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it's great. It's especially, living here in New Zealand and being a Brit, it's good to know that I can eventually go home and see the parents and the family. So we're hoping to head back to the UK in July. So it'd be nice to see people after 3 years.
Well, I'm sure your mother's very thrilled to see her grandkids.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she is. And all my washing I'll bring with me.
Yeah. No kidding. Canada. Oh, Canada, my home country. What's going on there?
In a significant move towards reopening borders, the Canadian government this past week announced discontinuing all COVID-related testing requirements for fully vaccinated international passengers arriving in Canada. The new rules are applicable for travellers entering the North American country by land, air and water. The current rules mandate all incoming international passengers to provide a pre-entry COVID-19 test result, regardless of their vaccination status. Negative antigen and molecular tests were taken no more than 24 or 72 hours respectively before the scheduled flight departure time were accepted. A positive antigen test taken between 10 to 180 days before departure was also accepted. However, from April the 1st, 2022, passengers recognised as fully vaccinated by Canada need not provide a test result. However, the mentioned requirements remain unchanged for partially or unvaccinated travellers. Now, for any passenger who wishes to check if they are classed as fully vaccinated by Canadian law, you can go to the website www.travel.gc.ca/travel-COVID, and in there you will find all of the rules and regulations with regards to whether you are vaccinated or not.
Does that, now when they're talking about fully vaccinated passengers, and I'm not talking about just Canada, I'm sort of talking maybe in general, does that mean the two shots plus a booster, or is it still just the two shots?
Normally, it's just the two shots. For most countries, it is. It, obviously, again, there's discrepancies between most. So wherever you're traveling to, please check the rules and regulations for that country you're going to, and obviously or any countries that you're transiting through as well, because that will have an impact on your travel. But again, like we say to anybody, if they've got any queries or questions, then they can reach out to us at any time.
Perfect. British Airways has an announcement.
Well, yeah, it's actually one of their franchises. So South African airline Comair, a popular domestic carrier in South Africa, is set to resume services after a temporary grounding. The Johannesburg-based carrier's operating certificate was suspended by the South African Civil Aviation Authority over safety concerns. This was as a precautionary measure earlier this month. But the suspension has now been lifted after a five-day review of Comair by the SACAA. Comair Chief Executive Glenn Ormond said no findings were made regarding either flight operations or maintenance. He also continued by saying, we operate some of the most modern aircraft in South African skies, apply best global practices to ensure operational safety, and crew training is world class. Now, I have done some digging and checked, and Comair flights are now once again bookable for passengers needing a domestic flight within South Africa. So any crew who are Port Elizabeth or Durban or anywhere else that needs to get to the Caribbean or come into the Med season this time, Comair flights are now once again flying in the skies.
Do you know why they were taken down in the first place?
They didn't say. They basically just said it was operational reasons. They were like basically checking it out as precautionary measures. But it's come back after a five-day review. They've come back and said, no, you're all good to go. So whether it was political or not, who knows? But it's South Africa, so it could be any of those things.
Well, I mean, that is a huge step. You don't hear about that every day, where an entire airline is being grounded within a country. So it kind of makes you, I'm a nervous flyer, so I'd be like avoiding it just because, right? Even though they've been cleared. Don't avoid the airline. There's nothing wrong with them. I am just weird.
You are just slightly paranoid.
Good news for Aruba.
So two years after the onset of the pandemic, the Caribbean island of Aruba is doing away with its remaining COVID-19 related travel restrictions. From this past Sunday, Aruba no longer requires a negative COVID test or proof of vaccination for entry. Previously, tourists were allowed to enter only with a negative COVID test, proof of full vaccination, or proof of recovery. Visitors insurance is still required, and all travellers will still need to complete an embarkation/disembarkation card before arrival. A statement from the Aruba Tourism Authority said the Aruban government, healthcare systems, and tourism industry will monitor the current environment and changing conditions to determine how to further adapt if necessary in the future.
Great. And Qatar Airways.
So good news for UK crew who are tired of the M25 motorway and constant traffic jams. Qatar Airways have announced they will resume flights to Gatwick from June the 5th, offering a daily service to its Doha hub. The resumption of the Gatwick service follows the launch of daily Gatwick-Doha flights by Qatar Airways' joint business partner, British Airways. It also means that Qatar will be offering services from four UK airports, as it has a 5 times daily service from Heathrow, 18 times weekly offerings from Manchester, and 4 flights a week from Edinburgh, which will rise to daily from June the 2nd.
And the Netherlands has some news.
They do indeed, yeah. So the Dutch government has announced that the country will no longer apply COVID-19 restrictions for incoming travellers. For an official statement, the government of the Netherlands has disclosed that starting from March the 23rd, European Union Schengen area travellers will no longer be required to present one of the certificates that is part of the digital COVID pass, those being a vaccination, recovery or test certificate upon entry. Moreover, the same is noted that the entry rules will also be dropped for non-EU travellers.
Wow. So it really is just going back to like status quo, the way it was before any of this ever happened.
Pretty much so. Yeah. A lot of the countries now, especially in Europe, and we're now seeing wider, obviously, with Canada and they're scrapping COVID requirements. Mask mandates are still in place for some airlines. But it does certainly seem that the world is opening up and just going to get on with COVID, shall we say.
Right. Well, good news, I guess. I mean, mind you, I have to mention that China right now is seeing a huge increase in COVID cases. Like, they're back to a year and a half ago as far as their infection rate.
Yeah, they are. And I also read an article today, actually this morning, saying that the UK's R number is risen sharply as well. So it's difficult to say now, isn't it? Because, I mean, before, at the start of the pandemic, even here still, you still get told daily how many cases there are a day, which they don't do. Because I understand they don't do in the UK anymore. So it's difficult for people to get that information as to, you know, how many cases there are. Is it rising? Is it stable? So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see that the world basically just said that we're going to get on with it now.
Well, maybe it's the power of the people that we're like, you know, well, marching the streets on a constant basis. Who knows why? But, you know, I think, and also financial, you know, you can't shut down countries. And no matter what is facing us, the fact is people started to starve. People were homeless. People lost their jobs. You know, it was just snowballing to the point where the results of the protection of the government was actually worse than the pandemic itself.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I think long-term effects, we're not going to know for a while, are we, with regards to, I'm not talking people with COVID, I'm talking about the economic, the, you know, and people's mental health and all the rest of it. You know, it's two years of not seeing loved ones or being locked up and all the rest of it. So, it's very difficult. And, you know, there's going to be long-term pain, that's for sure.
Well, we saw an increase in domestic violence, you know, men killing their wives. You know, it just... It affected everybody in such a great way. So I'm glad to see that people can, you know, get away from each other now. Unfortunately, I can't get away from myself, so I'm stuck, but whatever. Now, recently, I mean, it made the headlines all throughout Europe, and obviously it made the headlines in New Zealand, or perhaps you're just more sensitive to it because you are British. But the massive firing of P&O ferries, all 800 crew, in a matter of hours, they were informed they had to go and pack and get their stuff off the ferries and see you later. Now, this company is owned out of Dubai. So there's some political stuff going on there as well, because throughout the pandemic, they collected millions upon millions of pounds from the UK taxpayers in order to, you know, prop up their business. And then the minute that they're getting back to business, they fire every single one of the crew. What's going on?
Yeah, so yeah, I just want to touch base on it. Basically, just told a story at P&O Ferries. They announced the dismissal with immediate effect of 800 British sailors to replace with foreign crew at a cheaper rate. You know, and as a consequence, the three P&O boats operating between Calais, France, and Dover, England were immobilized. However, what I wanted to touch base on was, in a show of solidarity, several airlines operating in the United Kingdom have offered priority recruitment to the affected employees. The low-cost carrier EasyJet said it would offer fast-tracking applications for UK cabin crew roles from P&O ferry employees. The British regional air carrier Eastern Airways said it would also prioritise P&O employees for positions such as crewing officer, cabin crew, customer support agents and engineers. And similarly, Wizz Air, who we've talked about previously, who have given 100,000 free seats to the Ukrainian refugees. So Wizz Air, you know, big props to them again, have also invited P&O employees to attend the upcoming open recruitment days. Now, for anyone who is listening to the show, who knows anyone who has been affected by the actions of P&O Ferries, and I'm sure there's plenty of you that do, please do get them to visit one of the previously mentioned airlines if they are looking for work at this time. Hopefully, you know, some of them have managed to find jobs sort of pretty quickly, but I'm sure there's quite a few that haven't, you know, and if they are looking, then obviously get in touch with these free airlines as they may be able to help.
That kind of reminds me, as a North American, of, you know, when the car factories in places like Detroit were all of a sudden just made redundant, and entire factories were fired, gone in one day. I mean, the impact that it was felt in the communities that served, you know, that factory is still being felt today. And this was back in the 70s or 60s. I don't, you know, decades ago. 800 people losing their jobs all at the same time. It's devastating for the community, for the community it serves, you know, for the families, the extended families, the people that rely upon these people in order to put food on the table. you know, I don't know where we got in this world where everybody just became a number, and the realities of how we all get on in life and help each other out just kind of disappeared out the window in the name of the almighty dollar.
Yeah, I mean, and it just baffles me the total lack of respect, you know, for the crew. I mean, some of those crew have worked there for years upon years, and to be given a pre-recorded video from somebody in HR, as I understand it, wasn't even a high up, you know, person within the company. It was just a figurehead from HR to put in a pre-recorded video for people to watch, and then basically told to get off the ships. It's just disgusting. How big companies can run and think that that's acceptable in any day and age is just beyond me. Honestly, it's just the most disgusting behavior that I can remember from a company for quite a while.
Well, it's because their bonuses weren't as big as they were 2 years ago. So, you know, the only way to get those bonuses back up to the rate in which they want, they've got to get cheaper workers in. I read a story about a husband and wife. They had been working for P&O Ferries for 30 years, and they actually had worked opposite shifts because they were parents. So one would work the nighttime, one worked the daytime so that they could raise their children together for 30 years. And they were given an hour to go back to their cabin and get their stuff and get off the ship. I mean, it baffles me, you know, how, and we're talking seafarers. Like it even goes further than that, because the fact is you have these people that know these ferries inside and out. These crew, it's like their second home. They know, you know, the areas of their route in which to avoid. They know the quickest and safest ways off of that ferry in the case of an accident or any issues on board. They know that ferry inside and out. And every single time that you go on any vessel, you're putting your hands in your life in the hands of the crew. Yep. We have to remember that. We get on a vessel, a ferry, a cruise ship, a yacht, a boat, we are putting our hands in, or our lives in the hands of the crew that are aboard. And you always hope and pray that they are trained well enough to make sure that if there is anything that happens, that they can take care of you properly. You know, 30 years, I would assume these people would know. Now, all of a sudden, you have a bunch of people that you're throwing onto a ferry that have never worked on that ferry, possibly don't have the best credentials in the world, willing to take, you know, the work for a fraction of the cost. What happens then? You know, what if there is an accident, and the possibility of accident increases as a result?
Exactly. Tenfold, surely. Again, it's something I was reading. I was saying that the stretch of water between Dover and Calais is you know, is highly populated, because obviously you've got a lot of ferry companies, you know, working within that stretch of water. So yeah, and my guess is a lot of these people who are going to be coming onto these boats have probably not even worked in that stretch of water at any point. So you know, it must be a big concern. Clearly not for P&O, because they think that they're okay, but for anybody who's booked on there in the coming weeks, you know, it would be a concern of mine. I've got to say, if I was then going on there with crew who have only possibly been on there and know that stretch of water for maybe 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know what, the dollar over human lives, it's pretty much the way it's gone, and it continues to go, and it's such a shame. It's capitalism gone all wrong, I think.
It's just crazy, isn't it? Absolute madness.
Yeah, but if I was queen of the world.
There we go. Someday. Someday.
Yeah, after I'm dead. Yeah, that's about the only time anyone would vote for me. They're like, no, she's crazy. Lee, I have to say thank you once again. And as well, every single link that is pertinent to today's conversation will be listed on the Blue Marine Travel website. We'll provide you the link for Blue Marine as well as for Lee Harris, because, well, if it's happening in the world of travel, we will know about it the minute it does and post it on his LinkedIn.
Indeed. Certainly will. We'll keep it up to date.
Guaranteed. Thank you very much. And we're going to see you back here again next week as per usual. I don't know. If things keep going so well, we might not have to see you anymore.
Now I'm going to be obsolete, aren't I? There's not going to be any need for me, to be honest with you. We need to get some strikes happening, some industrial action. This is what we need.
I know. I can't do without my weekly therapy, you know? You've been watching. Oh, and I have to mention that Crew Travel is brought to you weekly by Blue Marine Travel. We haven't lost a passenger since Lee Harris was born back in the late 1900s. And of course, their people move people. You have been watching another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.